Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good friend and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. How are things in your world?
Banner day for me. My guy won the Daytona 500, despite fooling a lot of folks over the weekend. From the rain delay, everybody thought Jimmy Johnson did it, but no, Earnhardt Jr. came through and won the Daytona 500.
He's won that before, though, right? That's not that big of a deal.
It's about the only other thing he's won. He doesn't win often, but when he does, those of us this side of the Mason-Dixon seem to get a little excited about it. So that was fun, and we finished our House of Cards binge-watching at home. Katie was home for the weekend, so it was a full and rich weekend. How about you? Did you catch a new movie?
No movies yet. I think next week I'm going to watch the remix of Anchorman 2. They're coming up with 760 new jokes added 20 minutes. I will be attending that next week.
Marvelous. Well, we've got a great segment this morning. We are ready to get to a better state. We are going to visit with spokesman, media relations guy with State Farm Insurance. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Justin Tomczak. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Now, is that from yelling for your favorite race car driver, or you must have had a busy week and you sound a little hoarse, man?
I wish it was that, but my family was moving this weekend, so it was directing traffic, moving boxes, and trying to keep all the kids in line. So it was a full weekend, and let's not get into House of Cards if you don't mind. I love the show and have not had the opportunity to check out the second season.
So. No spoilers.
So now you were just yelling at them, telling them what to do, so you weren't doing any of the heavy lifting of the
movie? Oh, no. There was a lot of heavy lifting involved while yelling at people. So it was moving is one of the most miserable experiences, but once it's done and you're in the new place,
it's all good.
Life is good. So,
but you're accustomed to using your voice quite a bit, right, because you're a spokesperson. Tell us a little bit about the job of a spokesperson and maybe give us a little bit of a feel for how you got in that spot in the first place.
Gotcha. Well, spokesperson for State Farm Insurance. I've done that for 5 years here in Georgia, responsible for Georgia and South Carolina. I got into it through politics, worked on a variety of political campaigns, and decided to go to the corporate side of things for a while. And PR is a fascinating field. It's ever-changing. There's a few dull moments. But for the most part, you never know what the day is going to bring, and it's typically something exciting and challenging and a learning opportunity. It's a privilege to work for a great company like State Farm, where they take care of their customers. We're the good neighbor company, a very stable company, and our reputation for customer service makes my job relatively easy, because all I'm doing is highlighting those good stories and the good work that we do. I can't imagine working for a different type of company where maybe there are a lot more challenges and negative type stories arising. That would be a whole different can of worms, but working for a good company makes my job easy.
Now, State Farm has been in the news a little bit here in the Sandy Springs area because of the new campus that is coming to town. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. On Friday, there was an announcement from KDC, which is our real estate partner, that we were going to be expanding along I-285. This has been reported on over the previous year, and folks have probably seen the State Farm logo on some buildings right along 285.
Right. You weren't subtle about it.
No, we weren't. What this is going to be is one of our multifunctional hubs, and there's three cities that were chosen for it: Atlanta, Dallas, and Phoenix, and it's a site of a major expansion. In the past year, State Farm added around 3,000 new jobs here in Georgia, which is exciting. And over the coming 10 years, this is a 10-year project, we're going to be adding at least 3,000 more jobs right here in Metro Atlanta. That's a big number. It's exciting, and it's great to see Georgia chosen as the site for this expansion. Of all the different places it could have gone, it's right here.
Now, State Farm, they're based in Illinois, is that right?
Based in Bloomington. Nothing's changing with that. We are proud of our presence up in Bloomington, another great city. But this expansion here is good news for the Metro Atlanta area.
Now, can you talk a little bit about why Metro Atlanta? Why was that chosen out of all the places you could have been?
Well, as we're looking for what's the best ways we can continue to improve and serve our customers, Metro Atlanta has a lot to offer. You look at the transportation, the new facility that is going to be constructed here with groundbreaking starting this summer. actually sits on top of a MARTA station. So
right, you're right next to the MARTA.
Right next to
which
it.
Which is right next to the airport.
Yep, right next to the Atlanta airport, which is great, right along 285. We have easy access for employees coming in who can choose a variety of ways to get to the office and get home. If you look at the long-term plans for this development, there's retail. There's also residential in there. That's very exciting. So folks can live and work and play right there, right along 285 and right by the MARTA station.
Now, is the State Farm person you're serving, is it the end user who is the homeowner? Is it a business person? What does the State Farm customer look like?
It's everybody. Everybody who has any sort of financial or insurance needs. The company handles all of that. Primarily, we're in home and auto markets where we offer insurance services for that. This facility is going to have a lot of customer service representatives who are there taking care of our customers, helping new customers join the company, and then taking care of our existing customers.
But will it also help the State Farm agent who's out there in the wild with their own practice?
Oh, sure. The company offers a lot of support functions for our agents to make sure that they're able to best serve our customers, and some of that will be housed in this new facility. I think the exciting thing is that at a facility like this with this many jobs, there's a wide variety of jobs, and I think a lot of folks look at insurance and say, well, I don't have a background in claims or underwriting,
right.
So I, you know,
that's
there may not
for me,
that,
right?
Right, right, and that is not the case. We have jobs in underwriting, in claims, but also in systems and technology and all different types of things, management positions. I mean, for myself, I have no background in insurance, and here I am working in public relations for an insurance company, and that's really exciting. If folks go to statefarm.com right now, there's jobs posted. Last I heard, it was hundreds of jobs currently available are being filled. We've already filled hundreds of positions this year alone. So go to statefarm.com, make it one of your favorites if you're in the job market, and check back often. New jobs are posted almost daily.
The economic development people must just be doing backflips. They must absolutely love you guys. How are you creating that same set of reaction and emotion with customers and potential customers? How do you get into the hearts and minds of those folks so well? Because you do.
Well, it's really by offering the best products at better rates than our competitors and being there for them when they need us most. You look at our agency force, that's really a core of State Farm, is that State Farm agent that's a pillar in their community that's been there. You've got a lot of folks that their parents were a State Farm agent and now they're an agent, and they build that local reputation as being a member of the community. State Farm values that good neighbor. You really see the strength of the company come through in catastrophe type situations. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, we had a major tornado going through North Georgia and Ringgold, and to be up there on the front lines, seeing our agents and our catastrophe response team helping people put their lives back together. That's really one of the most rewarding aspects of my job, is getting to see that firsthand and see somebody that's standing on their porch and their house behind them may be completely gone, but their State Farm agent's right there with them telling them, we've got you taken care of. Here's a check to meet your immediate needs. We've got a hotel, you know, that we've set you up in until you're able to get back into your house, which for some of these folks is a very long time.
Right, and that's the thing people don't realize. They see the tragedy go by and everybody's like, oh my God, that's terrible. And then the person who's going through it, they're living it for 3 months, 6 months after the fact, and without a good support team like that State Farm provides, it's almost impossible.
Yeah, it's a scary time. I've never personally been through something like that, but you know, like I say, being with somebody who's maybe lost everything, and that's a scary place to be. But when your company is there for you, and your insurance company is right there with you, telling you, we're going to help you, it's okay, we've been through this before, we've got the resources to take care of you, you know, we're here today, that is really reassuring for folks. And I think that's one of our competitive advantages as a company, is we are right there in that time of crisis to help people get back on their feet.
That was an interesting observation that you made. I never really thought about it, but it's so true. I know it's even true in my hometown, but this is a multi-generational business in a lot of cases, isn't it? So speak more to that.
Well, I think the State Farm agency opportunity is a wonderful opportunity for you to build your own small business with the backing and support of an institution like State Farm. Fortune 50 corporation behind you, but you're still building your business. For the entrepreneur-minded person, this is a great opportunity to go out, set up shop, and begin to serve their local community and build a business along the way.
Now, how does that work for somebody who is interested? Like, what's the process look like?
Also, go to statefarm.com. There's a significant part there about agency recruiting. You can reach out to a recruiter, talk to them. You go meet with a local agent in town. That's a great – I actually personally explored the agency opportunity for a while.
You were considering that prior to
– I thought about it, right. Yeah, because it is a good opportunity. And I went and sat with a local agent and said, walk me through what you do.
You know what? After meeting you, I think PR would be a better
thing. You just keep talking. So, but that's a great thing is go sit with an agent and say, what's it like? Tell me about the joys of it. Tell me about some of the hardships, because obviously starting any small business is not an easy process. Sure. It takes a lot of work. And go meet with your agent and say, what's it like? And have them walk you through their experience.
No, I did this exact thing. Growing up in Florida, I went and met with my dad's agent, with my dad, and then with the agent's son, who was in the business. I mean, they really do. You pass it on. It's a fantastic family business.
There's multiple parent-child who are now agents, or the father or mother retires and their son or daughter goes into the business. It's great.
I mean, that's community. That's relationship. That's something there that's really gonna stick. How was what was your life like during Snowmageddon and Snowver Reaction? Is what Lee calls the second one.
Well, I took precautions and did not go into the office that day. I looked out at it. It's sunny. I don't think anything's going to happen, but they are saying that we could get an inch or two, so I'm going to stay home. So for me personally, it was okay, but had a lot of friends and family members who were stuck in it for hours at a time, and it was a frustrating experience, the first one for a lot of folks. I think you saw from a preparedness standpoint on round two, folks were more prepared. A lot of folks stayed home, and you didn't have that 14 hours stuck in your car experience.
Right, the gridlock didn't really happen the second time.
That was avoided, and I give a shout out to our elected officials and our corporations that told their folks to stay home, let you urge precaution, stay off the roads. You know, the best way to avoid an accident or getting caught up in a situation like that is to stay off the roads.
Right.
Don't go out there in the ice and be sliding around. And you also avoid getting stuck in your car for hours at a time if you're able to stay home.
So now, what's it like from the insurance side when you see something like that coming? I mean, the first one kind of snuck up on us, but is there things you do to kind of disseminate information to your agents to help them help their customers? Or
yes, a lot. And being in PR, that's one of the most important parts of my job, is to try to get that helpful information out on the front end. That's the challenging part of it, though, is because before a crisis hits or there's awareness of a crisis, there's not a lot of interest in the media about, hey, let's put out these helpful tips
when
there's no real problem. But once the problem happens and the tornado has come through, then everybody's going to talk about what you should do. What you should have done, right, even though there was no discussion of it on the front end. So that's the challenge, is to raise awareness of that. And I do that through relationships with the media, put out a press release, I'm active on Twitter, putting out information to try to educate the public. If I see a story that may be able to have a tie-in to an insurance-related topic, we'll try to get that out.
Mm-hmm.
We put out a lot of surveys and statistics talking about lightning strikes. That was a big one last year. Georgia led the nation in the amount of lightning claims. So when you put out a statistic like that, that is of interest to the media. And then you're able to say, here's what folks should do to be careful about that. Thanksgiving, there's a lot of cooking fires that take place. And we try to tie that helpful information to an event or a calendar item that maybe the media is already talking about, and then insert that helpful information in there.
Thanksgiving, sometimes there's fist fights too at some houses.
Not at my house.
So you're active on Twitter. PR has changed, certainly, even in the 5 years that you've been in the game. Talk about that a little bit, how it's how PR has changed.
It's changed a lot. My Twitter handle, am I allowed to throw that out?
Absolutely,
there?
Yeah, please.
All right, it's SF, as in State Farm, _ Tomczak, TOMCZAK. It's my official State Farm Twitter account. The PR world has changed. A couple trends that I've seen, and that these have been reported on widely, so it's not groundbreaking information here, but is the streamlining of the media. The traditional media is cutting back, and you see a lot of reporters being laid off, which is unfortunate because they've produced so much helpful information for the public. But there's been a lot of cutbacks, and so you don't have the level of investigative reporting where a reporter is able to spend a week on one story digging into it and bringing that information out. And I think that's unfortunate because a lot of good information comes out that way. as a PR professional, there are opportunities that come from that, because if I can take a story that tells the public how they can be protected from something and package it up to where it's easy for an short-staffed outlet to put information out, they may be more inclined to do it
right.
if it's packaged correctly. PR-wise, there's a lot of competition. You have a lot of folks coming from the media that are looking to get into PR. And so when a job opens up, there's typically a lot of very highly qualified folks applying for it and looking for it, a lot of whom were actually in the media, which I think folks that are in the media who make the switch to PR, they're very competitive.
Now, are you seeing a difference in the way maybe the media attacked a story 5-10 years ago pre-social media to now? Like you mentioned that there's less bodies on it, but are the people that are on it kind of the old school that this is how I do it, and then the younger people are maybe would attack the same story a different way nowadays using the social media outlets?
I think anyone who's in the media now is flexible. If they're still there, they're flexible. So you could have somebody who's been a reporter for 20 years who's now very active on Twitter, or who now has a blog in addition to their traditional media outlets. So,
but like this stuff wasn't taught to you when you were in. Do you have a degree in PR, or is that your background?
I do not. Nope. I actually studied finance at Kennesaw State, and then went into political campaigns and ended up in this field.
Right, but in PR, when you first started out, there wasn't a seminar on how to leverage Twitter. I bet
no, it didn't even exist. Probably. Yeah.
No, initially I think I was blocked from getting on Twitter.
Right, like first some corporations were like, no social media,
right,
don't
right,
even touch it,
right.
Or you're in trouble because you're slacking off, and
right.
now they're like, you better be using it.
You need
it.
To be on there, and I actually find a lot of story leads from Twitter and interacting with reporters on there. You know, you'll see a reporter tweet, I'm working on this apartment fire story that took place in this city, and I may reach out to them on Twitter and say, this is a great opportunity to let folks know about the importance of renter's insurance, for example, how for $10 a month they can be protected. And then all of a sudden that reporter replies back on Twitter, yes, send me the information, and then it's included in the story. So
is that how you spend some of your day, is kind of just monitoring the media and what stories they're talking about, so then you can then submit something that's relevant to them to help them?
Every day.
That a large portion of your day?
It is. When I come in the morning, that's the first thing I do, is I'm looking at the papers, what they're reporting, and then what are the reporters putting out on social media. And a lot of them ask for help on social media.
Right, because they have deadlines.
Right.
They need the help.
They don't have time.
Said, they're under right. staff.
Right.
So anything you can do, and they're like, wow, that wrote that story. So they're checking off a box, that one less thing for them to do.
Anything you can do to provide helpful information that's timely for a story they're working on, you've got a much better chance of it being included in their final story.
So PR, media relations as a career, you would endorse this? And what do you like
to
go
back
it?
To? You're going back to politics?
No, I love what I'm doing. I'd say if you're comfortable with ambiguity, if you're a self-starter, and if you're willing to just get out there and work, it's a great field. If you want to know exactly what's going to be on your calendar for the day, don't go into it.
So you have to be comfortable with a little bit of chaos. Right?
Oh yeah. So take PR and then add that to insurance, where you've got maybe a catastrophe situation. It's a good combination.
But now, how it seems that State Farm is fairly progressive in this area to give you some freedom and to be comfortable with that level of chaos, and where you think some insurance is very kind of like rules are rules, and we're very tight and
sure.
orderly, because you got
to you have to be
right. You have to be, but on. On your side, it's more freewheeling, because you have to be able to adapt to any situation.
Got to be able to adapt, and you need to get out there quickly. That's the key, because a reporter who's covering a topic is going to quickly move on to something else. And if you say, well, I'll call them tomorrow,
it's too late.
They're writing a different story and don't want what you have to talk about. So,
and then so State Farm seems to be very supportive, and they're kind of forward thinking in this area.
Absolutely. And I think if you look at the company in general, it's while it's been in existence a very long time and it's a huge organization, it does adapt and it does change, and it does allow that flexibility internally to meet what ultimately boils down to: how do we best serve our customers? How do we take care of their needs? And how do we change with them and anticipate what they want? So State Farm used to all be bricks and mortar. Now we have an online presence, and folks can get quotes online. They can file their claim via a smartphone application at any time. Mm-hmm. They don't need to wait until an office opens. That kind of flexibility from a major corporation is great, and corporations that are going to continue to succeed and be around for another 100 years are going to have to adapt that way and be nimble when it comes to meeting the needs of the marketplace.
Now, with your offices here that are expanding by the day, it seems, do you have your own autonomy here, or everything is from Illinois, and then they're kind of directing what happens here, or is each region considered its own kind of entity?
This guy's a loose cannon.
I think it seems that. That's what I'm saying. It's like
he hasn't talked to Illinois in months.
That is not true. Not true. No, it's a partnership. It's a partnership, and I get a lot of support from our team up in corporate. But if I go to them with an idea or see an opportunity, there's a lot of flexibility to jump on that within the guidelines of what
Because every region has its own little idiosyncrasies and the ways of doing things, right?
Oh, yeah. But there's a lot of communication between the folks that do my job in other territories and with our team up in Bloomington. We are in constant communication.
And it's collaborative? Practice. Like, if you figure out something here that works well, like you share it to the team and it might be implemented in California or something?
It's very collaborative. Whenever we have a major catastrophe in another area, I'm watching what the folks who do my job in that area are doing. And when I see them, which is all the time, do something great, do something innovative, once it's calmed down, I'll call them and say, hey, I saw this story that you had run on this topic. I thought that was great. How did that happen? And there's a lot of that sharing of information. I had a lot of calls after the snowstorm. How did you get out some? We did an angle on trunk junk, which is basically that folks need to keep items in their trunk that would be helpful if they were stranded or there was a situation like that. We share all that kind of information so that we're able to get that information out across the country.
I am absolutely fascinated and genuinely impressed at, I don't know, it's not even fair to call it a dichotomy with you guys. It's an integration of this solid organization with so much financial backing and experience and leadership. So you've got that just solid as a rock on the one hand, but then I feel like I can communicate intimately with the local agent. I can communicate with corporate. I mean, you're on Twitter for goodness sake. It's amazing to me that you guys are able to strike that balance and serve in both ways. I think that's marvelous.
Well, thank you. It's been strategic and it works. I think in the old days, companies would think, how do we want to tell our customers X, Y, and Z? Now it's, what do our customers want to tell us and what are they looking for and how do they want to communicate? And then let's make sure we're in that space so that we hear from them. If not, you're going to go out of business. It's pretty simple.
Well, that's an interesting point. I was asking a moment ago about, PR, media relations as a career. What advice, if any, that you might have for young people coming into it? But I'm getting the impression that being a really good at PR can involve listening as much or more than speaking, huh?
Very, very much so. Listen, be flexible, build relationships, treat people with integrity. If you burn a reporter one time, he or she is never going to work with you again. Be honest, be forthright, be transparent. Say if you're asked a question, when I interviewed for this job, I was asked a question in the interview that I could not answer by the gentleman who became my boss, and I told him straight up, I don't have the answer for that. Let me find out and I'll come back to you. And after they hired me, they said, well, that's important because that's a very key part of media relations. You're going to be asked questions that you don't have the answer to. And if you make something up, you will lose your job.
It will bite you. That will bite you.
But if you admit, I don't know, let me look into it, and then actually follow through with it and get back to them, you'll build a long-term positive relationship.
Because that shows a sincere your effort to find the truth. It isn't to just appease the person in the minute that they're in, and that shows that you're trying to develop a long-term relationship, and I think that's at the core of your business is developing long-term relationships.
Exactly.
And your constituency is not just the person that's the homeowner. It's the agent that has their own business. You have to serve them. I mean, you have a lot of customers.
There's a lot of customers, a lot of stakeholders that are involved in this because you're dealing with their homes and their cars, their life insurance needs. Mm-hmm. It's every aspect of their security. And so you have to be trustworthy or you're
gone. Right. I mean, you're a trusted advisor in each of their families.
Yeah, and exactly. And so that trust element is crucial.
So before we wrap, let's make sure that our listeners have coordinates so they can reach out and actually have these kinds of conversations that we are saying are possible. Twitter, email, whatever's appropriate, if you would. Share with them the coordinates.
Sure. SF_TomZak on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. If I don't know you, I probably won't accept your friend request, though. my email is Justin, JUSTIN.TomZak, TomZak m2ny at statefarm.com. And my office number is 770-418-5562.
And at the website, statefarm.com, they can go and they can, obviously, they can get connected with an agent, but they can, there's job opportunities, yep. There's agent opportunities if you want to be an entrepreneur and an agent. There's you can find that information. And I'm sure lots of tips for if there's a catastrophe.
Or for anything that you might face, there's information to help you with it.
There's some tips there, right?
Exactly. Statefarm.com's got it all covered.
Yeah, we said at the very top of the conversation, anyone that's in the job market, they should be tapping into this website and just and continuing to monitor it, right? Because there's a lot of opportunity now and coming down the pike, yes?
Exactly. Check back often and don't think just because your background's not in insurance that you shouldn't go there and explore the opportunities.
Right, you might be surprised.
Right, exactly.
Well, Justin Tomczak with State Farm, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio this morning. I hope you'll come back from time to time and get us caught up on what's going on over there, man.
I'll look forward to it, Lee and Stone. Thank you guys for having me.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest this morning, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.